music here tonight, and I trust that you enjoyed the presentation. Once again, if you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew chapter number 5. And let me just make this announcement here. We had scheduled an outreach meeting after the service. I think we're going to forego that, just with this being sort of a special weekend here. And I know many of you appreciated the afternoon off, but I think we'll even forego that. We are going to be asking for help, though. I will mention that in just a couple of weeks, we're going to be asking for your help in trying to get the word out for VBT. You realize even today, hopefully many of you filled out your slips. And I would appreciate, by the way, don't be typical Baptist. Don't wait until the last minute to sign up. Don't try and contact me here the day of VBT starting on the 25th of June. And Pastor, I can work in VBT. Well, sign up now. You know, try and be un-Baptistic in that one area. And the Baptistic every other way, but just don't delay. Don't wait. Don't try and be last second. And we would appreciate that. But we are going to be asking for some help with vacation Bible time and even getting the word out. And so we'll let you know about that. But I think tonight here we're going to just have our message and invitation and then, of course, get ready to go to our homes. I trust, by the way, next week, looking forward, graduation Sunday. Lord's Supper will be in the Sunday morning service. Next Sunday evening, we've got a missionary. We've got the Gardeners, missionaries to Japan, are going to be with us. And Dan and Terry are going to be in town for just a short time. And so we appreciate hearing from them. So we'll have a great, great week next week as well. If you have your Bibles there, Matthew chapter 5, please stand and follow along as I read here just a couple of verses. Notice it says in verse number 23, Jesus saying, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Lord, these are powerful verses, and we thank you for even speaking these words that even to this day, Lord, convict and prick our hearts. And Lord, I pray we would learn here tonight that the most important thing we can do if we have a brother having aught against us is to leave our gift and to be reconciled. So Lord, I pray tonight that we would even look at this subject and Lord, help us to be reconciled with everyone we can. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you're going to do now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. They were both former first ladies. But the similarities between Julia Grant, who's on the left, hopefully we got the picture there, and on the right, Verena Davis, didn't end there. You see, both of these ladies were born in the very same year, 1826. They both grew up and were raised on southern plantations to slave-owning southern families. Both had keen intellects. Both of them had a soft, gentle voice. Both of them were married to very highly successful, high-ranking husbands. However, when their husbands died, that is Ulysses S. Grant and Jefferson Davis, these two ladies ended up living near each other. And they found themselves having many lunches together as they would find themselves at a resort. They would spend their time, they would go on walks and carriage rides. In fact, these two ladies, their daughters, became best of friends. Now you say, how is that possible? After all, they represented the two opposite sides of the Civil War. How did it happen? One word: reconciliation. They were reconciled. Something that you and I need to consider. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 32. And tonight I want to talk about this subject of being reconciled. By the way, it's in Matthew chapter 5 that the Lord Jesus Christ turns what we think upside down. And especially, you got to understand, to the Jewish mindset, he really threw them for a loop. When he explained to them, because they were thinking, there's nothing more important than I've got to get to the temple. I got to get my offering. I got to give my gift. And he said, now, wait a second. He said, more important than that. He said, if you get your gift and you get to the altar and all of a sudden you remember that your brother has aught against you. Now, by the way, that goes against our thinking too, because we're thinking, wait a second, they're the ones with the problem. I don't have a problem. They're the ones that think I did something. I didn't do anything. I'm not at fault. I didn't harm them. I didn't go out of my way to do anything. Why is it that I have to do something? Jesus said, if your brother has aught against you, you are to leave your gift at the altar. And more importantly, you are to go to that brother and you are to be reconciled with him. By the way, this is very similar to what Paul the Apostle later said when he said, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. How about you? Have you ever, first of all, have you ever been wounded? Have you ever been hurt? Have you ever been hurt and wounded to the point where, I mean, you had some really evil thoughts? Now, there is a man in the Bible, and we are going to be looking at him. This man and his brother had an out, and we find that in Genesis chapter 27, the Bible says about Esau, that the Bible says that Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. See, here he hated. He wanted to kill him. That's how bad it was. You know, the story of Jacob and Esau reads like a juicy novel. It's one that's got its ups and downs, but mostly downs for many, many years, these two brothers. You would think that they would be close. They're twins. But for many years, they didn't speak. For many years, they had no fellowship. For many years, they're apart. And then suddenly, we find that all of a sudden, here's this incident, that all of a sudden, you've got Jacob finding the need to reconcile with his brother. Now, it all started back in Genesis 27, when their father Isaac decided to give the blessing to the oldest son. And you got to understand about this blessing, this was something big. It's bigger. In our thinking, you know, we just simply say nice words to the kids when we get older. And, you know, if we know we're sick and if we know we're going to pass away, you might have an elderly father, mother that may say some wishes to their children. And that's good. But this was far bigger than that. You've heard of the saying, if somebody, you know, has sort of that touch, that Midas touch, that everything they touch turns to gold. Well, when this blessing was passed on from the patriarch to their son, their oldest son, it was sort of like that. And everything they touch is blessed and prospered. In fact, doubly, we find every time that one of the sons is blessed with this blessing, they begin to be prosperous beyond imagination. And so this was a big deal. They got a double portion of the inheritance. They got to be sort of the one that was the leader after the father passed away. This is a big deal. And yet we find that in Genesis chapter 27, that blessing that Isaac had intended to go to Esau, suddenly we find Jacob cutting in line. And while his brother's out hunting, trying to find something that will please his father, we find Jacob sneaking in behind. By the way, at the behest of his mother, Rebecca, that she's in on this thing too. And he deceives his father and he pretends to be Esau and even has the skins of goats on his arms and the clothing of Esau and even the deep voice of his brother saying, I am Esau. And his father falls for it. His father believes that it is him. And Jacob gets the blessing he wants, and he wants so badly. But then after he receives the blessing, it causes such a division, such a wall between he and his brother, that his brother Esau says, as soon as a dad is dead, I'm going to kill him. And with that, Jacob flees. And he goes off to Haran. You know, it's been 20 years. But all of a sudden, we find that Jacob finds the need to reconcile, something that ought to, by the way, picture the great reconciliation that Jesus even makes with us. You realize the Bible presents salvation basically. Reconciliation is taking two that were enemies and making them friends. You know, here's what the Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse number 6. The Bible says that Christ might reconcile both. At that time there, the Jews and the Gentiles didn't get together. Paul says that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, you and I need to realize that reconciliation is salvation. Salvation is reconciling us with God. Us, because of our sins, we are at enmity with Him. But because of the cross, we have peace with God. From the story of Jacob and Esau here tonight, I want you to just notice that there are steps of reconciliation. And if you're here tonight, and maybe something while I'm preaching may prick even a memory, a thought. You know, it's, by the way, good to remember, as we even showed some pictures of those that have gone on before us. But I wonder maybe tonight if maybe God has intended for us to hear this message on Memorial Day weekend, for us to maybe remember not those who have gone on before us, but maybe to remember that, hey, my brother has aught against me. Remember, Jesus said, when you get to that altar and when you remember that your brother has aught against you, you need to do something about that. Let's notice there are 8 steps to reconciliation. From Genesis chapter 32, I want you to notice that, first of all, reconciliation begins with God. Notice in verse number 1, the Bible says, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host, and he called the name of that place Mahanaim. That says there that the angels of God met him. It doesn't say the angels spoke. Maybe they did. Scripture's silent. But we do know that the angels were obvious to Jacob. He knew that they were there. And listen, one of the things that I think you want to realize is this, that God sometimes, in a sense here, pops up. And his presence is made known to us so that we will look at ourselves more honestly. You know, when we have relationships and relationships that have gone through some breaks and some relationships that have gone through some struggles and some strifes, sometimes God just simply kind of pokes his head in to remind us of who he is and what we are. And God sometimes intervenes. By the way, that's one reason why we need to be constantly in his presence. That's one reason why you and I, we need to make sure that we are even seeking God and we are aware of God and aware of him. You know, I don't know about you, but I happen to believe that life itself, it's very difficult not to have offenses happen. I sort of liken it to this, that life to me is sort of like trying to be in a bumper car area and not bump into the cars. Or be in a demolition derby and not somehow get a scratch. You know, I find that in life it's very simple, it's very easy. It doesn't take any effort at all for me to, with my tongue, with my actions, with my omission, for me to offend. You know, that's why you and I need to realize that this is something that is very pertinent, something that is very applicable. We've got families here tonight, and I wonder even within our families how many times that we have not dealt with offenses. And we've let some things slip. By the way, mom and dad, how about your children? There are no perfect parents, but I will tell you this, that parents that love the Lord are going to seek to try and keep things right with their kids. And by the way, kids, it's important that you keep some things right with your mom and dad. You know, I believe that one of the reasons why we don't see more reconciling is we aren't spending enough time with the Lord. We're not in his presence. That's why, again, it's sort of like God just simply pokes his head in, and God just simply sort of like a heavenly jack-in-the-box all of a sudden says, hey, wait a second, don't forget. Don't forget about me. Don't forget about reconciliation. Notice the second thing we find here in this story is that reconciliation with others comes before reconciling with God. Maybe that's why there's no language. There's no spoken words. The angels just simply appear. You know, I can tell you that relationally speaking, that if you are not right with others, you are not right with God. You know, the Bible, that's the point that Jesus is trying to make. Jesus talks about coming to worship. And listen, you're trying to have some kind of a relationship fostered by this gift and sacrifice to God. God says, wait a second, before you step any further, make sure that you have reconciliation with man. You know, it's sort of like the Christmas tree lights that are set up in a series. You know those Christmas tree lights? You all know them. That the ones that if you have one bulb out, the whole string is out. Boy, that can be frustrating.
Where's the bulb?
Which one? You know, that's the way it is relationally. If you have aught against your brother, you're not right with God. Not until you get that taken care of. You replace that bulb and all of a sudden you find all the lights are lit up. It's the same with your relationship with the Lord. That's why you and I, we need to do this. We need to do it constantly. Notice number three, that reconciliation must be intentional. In Genesis 32 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom, and he commanded them, saying, Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now, and I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I might find grace in thy sight." By the way, Jacob knew that he had done wrong. He knew that he had to make it right. I'll tell you something else that's of interest to me, and it shows me that there's an intentional step that's taken. That the Bible says that when Jacob all of a sudden has these angels of God meeting in front of him, all of a sudden Jacob gets some messages and says, "Now listen, here's where Esau lives." He says he lives in Mount Seir. He lives in Edom. Now here's the point. Jacob's been away from his brother for 20 years. He knew where his brother was all along. I wonder, by the way, here tonight, whose address do you know? Whose address is in the back of your mind? Whose address, whose phone number, whose email address has been in the back of your mind and you've been just waiting and just thinking, you know, maybe I ought to contact them. You know what? Jacob waited, sadly, 20 years before he contacted his brother. He waited 20 years away from him, 20 years that I will tell you, if you think that, time heals all wounds, you are wrong. Time oftentimes just simply makes it more complicated. It makes harder the situation. It makes it more difficult. And so he waited for some 40 years until he decided to make it right. I'm simply saying that all of a sudden he said intentionally, he said, "I'm going to send a message. I'm going to send messengers to my brother." Folks, listen, until you intentionally deal with this, it's never going to be corrected. You're never going to see reconciliation. You know, it's sort of like a broken bone. Broken bones need to be reset. How many of you have ever had a broken bone? Let me see your hands. How many of you? You know, I can remember I've had a couple of different broken bones, but I remember, and I've told this story before, when I was a little boy, and I was playing a pickup baseball game, and it happened to be a neighborhood, just a couple of us, we got together, and it was a sunny day, and the first baseman, the sun got in his eyes, and the baseball arrived at first base the same time as my nose. And literally, it was a clean break. In fact, I'm not joking when I say that all of a sudden, my face went numb, but all of a sudden, I felt my face, and my nose was underneath my right eye. It had broken so cleanly and so profoundly. And so I went home, and it was funny because I had the baseball glove right over here. I'm covering my nose, which is under my eye. And of course, when I got home, my mother realized something's wrong, and she said, "Let me see." And when I showed her, all of a sudden, she began freaking out. But she had enough sense to bring me to the hospital. And in the hospital, I had my first night staying in the hospital. And that evening, the doctor came in and, of course, put me out. And during that surgery, then reset that nose. I'm glad, by the way, today. Otherwise, you could be looking at a preacher and you could be looking at my nose way over here. You see, broken bones need to be reset. Why don't we realize the same is true relationally? We need to reset some things. And listen, you say, "Well, it's not my nose, but it's their nose." Listen, you and I, we need to have some intentional steps that we take, and we find that here Jacob has some intentional steps. By the way, in mathematics, there's a statement, and the statement usually is this, that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. One of the things I find when you try and correct relational faults and when relationships are broken, it's very good for you to just simply remember some simple statements like, "I was wrong." Get right to it. Some simple statements like this: "I haven't been completely honest with you," or "I haven't been honest with you." You know, don't beat around the bush. Don't try and have a half defensive posture. Ask for forgiveness. Make some statements that will help to diffuse rather than pick up the anger. I think you and I, we need to realize, by the way, one of the things that I have found helpful when it comes to when I try and reconcile with somebody is to remember these words: I need to clarify, not confront. You know, when you're trying to reconcile, you're not trying to be an enemy, an opponent. You're trying to make yourself friends again. Clarify. I find many times the reasons why we've got broken relationships is we've got misunderstandings. It may be that I misunderstood you. It may be you misunderstood me. So ask to clarify. Ask some questions. Don't attack. That's not the thing to do. Let's try and make sure that we try and restore some of these relationships. Number four, we find in this example of Jacob and Esau that reconciliation has to be bathed in prayer. Notice in verses 9 through 12, we find Jacob praying. Now it begins in verse number 9 where he says, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac. And then he prays. Now, can I just simply say that at that point there, I think he's praying actually for the wrong reasons, but let's give him credit. He prayed. Now, his reasons, of course, were that he was praying, Lord, please help him not to kill me. That's my paraphrase. Lord, please help me to live after this is done. That's sort of a selfish prayer. What I think would have been better, if I could suggest, is that Jacob would have prayed not only for his preservation, but Lord, please help us to be restored. Oh, God loves it when his people are restored. God loves it when people are reconciled. But let me just say that prayer is the salve for a wounded heart. You and I, if we struggle, and boy, I tell you what, that person is hard. Well, listen, prayer is sort of like the grease. It's going to lubricate that relationship. And I've seen it many, many times, that when we will just simply take time to pray, all of a sudden the heart is softened. All of a sudden that difficult meeting, it becomes much easier to handle. You see, we need to make sure that we bathe things in prayer. And then notice number five, that reconciliation demands humility. On that morning, after those years, 20 years, as I told you, that Jacob was away from his brother, 20 years since the offense took place. The Bible says in Genesis 33, now notice in that chapter, verse number 3, and he, that is Jacob, passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. Now, this is actually the first face-to-face they've had in 20 years. 20 years ago, his brother said, I'm going to kill him. Now, 20 years later, here's Jacob, and what is he doing? He's bowing before his brother. You got to understand in culture, you only did that when you were humbling yourself. You only did that when you were actually trying to show the other person that you were lower than them. Again, this is the Eastern, Middle Eastern culture. And humility, listen, it puts us in a position that reconciliation can take place. The problem with us is we don't bow. We don't lower. We don't humble ourselves. Oh, listen, the Bible says this, that God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Number 6, notice that reconciliation requires some vulnerability. Notice in chapter 33 and verse number 4, notice how vulnerable these two grown men, by the way, I happen to believe both were manly men. Notice in verse number 4, the Bible says, and Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. By the way, those were brotherly examples. An embrace, a brotherly kiss, two brothers that are what? They are weeping. They wept. It says they wept. Now don't tell me, by the way, that men cannot cry. After all, Jesus wept. You know, one of the things I think this shows is that they, especially Jacob, was willing to be vulnerable. He was willing to cry in front of his brother. And by the way, we find, I don't know which one here did it first, but we find that Esau wept as well. Here's two brothers that became vulnerable. Can I say, oftentimes one of the things that we do when we have a relationship that is broken is we go into isolation. And we go into our shell and we put up that veneer, we put up that wall, and we don't let anything poke and pierce it. I don't think that's wise. I believe that you and I need to realize that walls build castles, and castles keep out even our brother. You and I, we need to humble ourselves and we need to be vulnerable. You know, it's safe, by the way, staying inside of that castle with the moat. It's safe because it can't hurt me there. But you know, I think every one of us, if we want to reconcile, we need to be willing to let down the drawbridge. Let them in and let them see and let them even see our vulnerability. Our vulnerability exposed when we weep and when we are honest and when we reveal even what happened inside. By the way, you oftentimes find that people are willing to do that when you are willing to do it. If you want the other person here to open up about how you hurt them and how you offended them, even if you did not do it intentionally, then you need to first of all set the example. Here Jacob set the example. Jacob was one, by the way, I happen to believe the Lord Jesus Christ, a man of sorrows acquainted with our grief, gives us that example. When Jesus came to this earth, Jesus Christ, he had emotions. He showed emotions all the time. He allowed himself to be vulnerable. He allowed the disciples to live with him, to see him at all times when he was tired, when he was hungry, when he was weak. The Lord Jesus Christ made himself vulnerable. Let me say, number seven, the reconciliation nears completion when there's forgiveness. We see Jacob's heart. We see Esau's heart as well. And again, back 20 years ago, if looks could have killed, then Esau would have killed his brother. But now we find that Jacob has done something that has caused his brother to forgive. What is forgiveness, by the way? Forgiveness is a term that describes the letting go of a debt. It's basically a pardon. It is taking when there is an indebtedness, when there is a deserved justice, and basically turning it on its head. You know, forgiveness, by the way, needs to be something that is not just simply temporary, but it's something that becomes permanent. And let me just say that one of the problems oftentimes in reconciliation is we don't make it lengthy. We just simply forgive for a little bit, and then we dig it up in the dirt. We dig up dead bones. We dig up graves, and we dig up past wrongs, and that's never wise relationally. I can tell you, by the way, many times in marital counseling, I have to stop the couples when they'll all of a sudden say, well, you remember what you did 10 years ago? You know, we oftentimes find that, you know, when you keep on dealing with things over and over again, pretty soon you're not going to be able to get to the things present. That's why you've got to have forgiveness. You've got to let some things go. But then notice number eight, the reconciliation is finished when there's restitution. Jacob wanted to make things right. How do we know that? Because of what he does next. Notice in verse number eight, because Jacob and Esau are meeting. And there's all of these animals that actually came from Laban as Jacob has earned his gain. He's earned his wealth. And as he brings these flocks and herds, notice it's almost like he puts a bow and a ribbon around them when Bible says in verse number 8, and he, that is Esau, said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I met, these flocks and herds? What is this? Notice, and he said, I love this. These are to find grace. Oh, that's what we need. We just need some grace. We need God's grace, and then we need to give God's grace. Notice that this is a give. This is animals. And by the way, that's as good as cash in those days. It's almost like Jacob opens up his billfold and takes out all of his money, and he's basically handing it to Esau. And notice the Bible says, at first Esau says, oh, I can't take this gift. But notice that Jacob is insistent. Why is he insistent? Because he's trying to make restitution. He's trying to make things right. Here's the principle. Restitution is attempting to restore as much as possible that which has been damaged or lost. It's trying to make things right. It's correcting the wrong. Again, as the Apostle Paul said, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, it's only when we have reconciliation, when we have restitution, that we know that reconciliation has run its full course. And when Jacob handed over those flocks and herds, remember back 20 years ago, that what he wanted was he wanted all the blessing. He wanted everything. Now all of a sudden he's handing it back. He's blessing his brother. Oh, reconciliation is our way to catch a glimpse of God. You know, it's interesting, and I want to point this out before we finish, because we see that in this story. Notice carefully what Jacob says to Esau, and we'll be done. In verse number 10, notice the verse finishes by saying this, when these two now all of a sudden they make up, when all of a sudden there's reconciliation. Something interesting. Notice Jacob says to Esau's brother, for therefore have I seen thy face, as though I had seen the face of God. You know, I happen to think you do see God when you see reconciliation. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. And Lord, just some principles that I saw and I noticed in this story and how it even prompted me to make some things right. Lord, to just simply make sure if my brother has aught against me, I need to leave my gift at the altar and first be reconciled. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and Christians are praying. I don't know about you tonight, but there's nothing more important than that you are right with God. But in being right with God, you got to be right with everybody else. And they have to be right with you as best as you can. Have you reconciled with everybody? I mentioned the two first ladies, Mrs. Grant, Mrs. Davis, that they ended up after the Civil War becoming close friends. Reconciliation. How about you tonight? Maybe God has pricked your heart. Maybe you'd have to be honest and say, preacher, I'm thinking right now of somebody I need to reconcile with. Again, it might not be that you did anything, but it might be that they are still holding something. And that relationship is not what it ought to be. Reconcile with them. Try and make some things right tonight. Let's all stand. The instruments are going to play. You step out and come. If God has spoken to your heart, be reconciled.